is over, but we are just getting started here on Post-Show Recaps. That's right. It is full spoiler recaps. We're binging a new season of a show every week and chatting about it in full spoilery detail. I'm Jess Sterling. Today we are discussing Slow Horses season 3. And of course, I'm joined here by my co-host, Grace Leader, who hopefully is with me in the Slow Horses gang, not part of the MI5 elite. Grace.
Yeah, I'm in Slough House.
It's Slough House.
The horses, they're slow. I don't know if that's a good accent or not. Apologies if you thought it was bad. You're welcome if you thought it was good.
Yeah. I have to say, I mean, I think, you know, getting right into it, I feel like Jackson Lamb, standout as, you know, Gary Oldman, just a standout for me as okay, I'm not British, very obviously, right? But he felt like the most... I've been faking my accent for years. Got you.
How dare you.
But he feels like the most British character I've watched in a very long time.
You said this. Yeah, he's pretty British. He's pretty British. He's just
like snarky, and everything he says feels like it's like sarcastic or a one-liner.
Or he's farting.
Or why? I didn't need him farting constantly. I just have to say,
we were trying to work our magic and get. I've mentioned him on this pod before that Antonio Mazzaro is a fan of Slow Horses. Tried to work our magic to get Antonio on the pod. The timing and scheduling did not work out, but I do have some feedback from Antonio, and actually most of it is just about Jackson Lamb's.
Oh, beautiful,
general,
lovely,
like grotesqueness. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I should mention too, subscribe postrecaps.com/full spoiler recaps or postrecaps.com/subscribe if you want to see everything we're working on. If you didn't watch Slow Horses, it's on Apple TV Plus. We're just covering season 3, although suffice it to say Grace and I watched the entirety of the series over the last week. So we'll you know, be getting into all of the characters. But yeah, I feel like the reason I think that the top billing on this show, like the reason people probably give it a shot, is we got Gary Oldman. He's a flatulent, a little bit of a snarky kind of gross character.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He takes sink showers too often for me to not call him gross, you know?
Yeah. He's the Wikipedia page describes Jackson Lamb as the head of Slough House, who is slovenly and rude. Slovenly meaning to be kind of gross or messy or dirty.
This I would agree with.
And
yes.
Rude. Yeah, but has a sharp and devious mind, they say. Yeah.
And there's something to be said about the fact that Jackson Lamb definitely fits the bill of these are idiots, but they are my idiots. Like, this is my circus. He is not, unlike a lot of the other characters, I would say, in the Slough House, he doesn't have aspirations of leaving. This is his job. He's going to retire there. Or he's going to die. According to his doctor, could be very soon, because he will not stop smoking and drinking and cannot even do like a physical test on the treadmill without possibly him dying.
Yeah, he's not in great shape. I do worry about him a little bit, but we talk about the theme song. We'll get to the title card later. We tier rank them each week, but mm-hmm. I will say there is something to be said about. I sort of am a critic of the, like, in the intro we're like building things, so it's like we built the crown, or the Wheel of Time is like all the sands weaving, or the Rings of Power is building the ring, and it's like it feels like everybody is doing this these days, and I think if you can break out of it, this one somehow they found this Mick Jagger song that, like, I don't know, or maybe he wrote it for the show. I don't think so, probably. But the way that this song is as close to like a 90s theme song of basically, like, you know, the Too Many Cooks.
It tells you what it is.
It tells you, but it's like surrounded by losers, misfits and boozers. Like, yes, that's basically it.
I can't get this theme song out of my head for the life of me. Every day I'm just like, strange game. Every
really
day
good.
Just walking around my house just
misfits
like
spits and boozes. It's really good. Yeah. And then we just really need to get back to theme songs that tell you what the show is about.
I am all for that. Give me the minute and a half. If it's good is what I will say. Give me the minute and a half intro song, just like a 90s show, especially if it's going to be like Strange Games, where it's literally telling you from the start, like, they're losers, misfits, and boozers. Like, that You made one mistake. You get burned at the stake.
Yeah, you're finished. You're so foolish. Good. You failed. There's always a hope on the slippery slope. Good. Yeah, it's really good to get back in that game, which, yeah, I mean, we haven't really said, you know, Gary Oldman as Jackson Lamb sort of leads. I can give a little bit of a quick plot recap here, which includes sort of like the premise of the show. But basically, Slough House and therefore the slow horses who are part of Slough House are basically MI5 agents who have something has happened to them in their career, or they have something about them that has led them to, like, they're not reputable enough to be part of like actual MI5. And so they're part of like side MI5 where like Jackson Lamb runs. And so the idea here is that, like, normally Diana Taverner, who's played by Kristen Scott Thomas, sort of gets to use this, like, you know, other agency to do some of the things that, like, you might not be able to do with MI5, official MI5, because of like the red tape. So it's kind of like under the table, off the side of the desk initiative happening at Slough House. And then, yeah, it's run by Jackson Lamb. And then, you know, I have all these people. So, like, Jack Loudon plays River Cartwright, who, like, completely messed up a training.
The very first episode, the very first scene of the entire show is his kind of screw up, which we find out was a bit of a, like, all his fault later on.
We have like Roddy, who's sort of just like completely obnoxious. We have people with gambling addictions and people
who are doing drugs. How has Roddy not been fired for sexual harassment is my question.
Because Jackson Lamb is his boss, I think.
ding, ding, ding. We have a winner.
Yeah, so often there's, like, you know, there's this conflict in the show about, like, them doing, and the way that MI5 actually, like, looks down on them and whatever. But most importantly, in season three, we get introduced this idea of a tiger trap, where a tiger trap is, like, basically an attack on MI5 or an institution to sort of test its security. And we basically learn how, like, everybody gets involved in it, and that it was actually Diana who put it in place to try and get Ingrid Tierney to try and get her removed as director of MI5.
Right.
And the whole thing involves, like, they were going to kidnap this woman in exchange for River to go in and steal a file. And then it turns out, like, that file is actually super important to the people who are hired as the tiger trap team. And it's a whole mess.
It's very convoluted. It's very convoluted. It's a cop show, right? Like, it's a UK cop show. So if you don't know what MI5 is, it's kind of like FBI, CIA sort of situation, but make it British. And I so apologize if that's not, I know it's not a one-to-one, but, like, that's the best comparison I have as an American. And yeah, so it's all, but it's very interesting because Slough House, the slow horses, are they're the people who have screwed up throughout their career. They're like, instead of being fired, you get shoved off to Slough House and you're not given anything serious to do. However, like, Jackson Lamb certainly is really good at, you know, he's messy. And he's a little schlubby, but he's good at what he does. His team isn't always great at what they do, as evidenced by, like, Min getting killed for doing some really dumb stuff and, like, deciding to chase someone on a bicycle, not even a motorbike, a bicycle. But he gets killed. So then we have, like, Louisa, who I really like as a character. I thought she was one of the ones that I was more interested in going through. And I thought the standout for me, at least in season three, was Catherine Standish, who is the person who is, you never really get the vibe that she was, like, an MI5 officer. She's kind of,
She's not really. She's, like, basically, she's more like, she does, like, she, like, worked for MI5, but I don't think she was an agent, right?
No, she was very much like a secretarial administrative position, it seems like, to Jackson Lamb. And so when she gets taken, like, she is the beating heart of Slough House is what it feels like, you know? Yeah. She's the one who keeps everything in order. She's the one who cares about the filing system and making sure things are in order. And when she gets taken, it's kind of like they're not taking one of our own and everybody flips out.
Yeah. So let me, so this season does have this thing where Jackson is trying to get Standish back. It's like, she's been, like, kept the tiger trap, they kidnap her, but then they decide to also just keep her in another MI5 agent to basically be able to go in and try to get this file that they That was like the thing that this guy was like the river was supposed to go in and get in the first place. But now they like just wanted, because they want to prove basically that MI5 is willing to kill its own agents, because
right.
one of these guys had a partner who was going to leak a file, and then she was killed. They labeled it a suicide. And so basically he's on this vendetta to like prove that they'll kill him. And this basically proves true when like they let him go in escorted by Slough House employees, River and Louisa, except they're then going to go in and kill them so that to basically cover up them retrieving this file at all anyway. So it proves to be true that Ingrid is willing to sacrifice her own MI5 agents. Mm-hmm. we learn that Jackson Lamb, like he's involved in this, it's where like he ends up killing a close, like a companion. So he's been involved in this too. And this is where Antonio's like question comes in. So he says, he did rewatch the show and then watch season 3. And mm-hmm. he likes season 3 the best. He likes season 3 the best because of what's going on with Lamb. And it feels like yeah. an arc versus just adapting stories one by one. Because we didn't say this, but the show is a book adaptation. And there are a series of books that are being adapted. But it feels like the state he's in, he used to think this was a suit of armor. This like the grossness, the like slovenly thing about him. But now it looks more like a suit of shame than ever. Antonio had told a friend of his about the show and asked him if the grossness of Lamb was too much for him. But he said he is gross, but once you realize it's an act, it all works. Antonio said he never thought it was an act. He thought it was him wearing and doing exactly what he felt he deserved after the revelations of how he ended up in Slough House that we see at the end of season 1. Mm-hmm. Antonio is very interested if there's a world of the show with the Jackson Lamb who is well-groomed and clean and not gross, and whether coming clean to Standish about this is the cleansing act he needs to get there. We got so damn close to that this season, and I really thought the moment was coming, and they swerved me. But I will be eager to hear what we all think about Lamb and whether his arc is bending towards cleansing the sickness that resulted from him having to do the dirtiest deeds. Overall, Antonio really liked that even though the show is adapting individual stories or novels, sorry, there are stakes that have built up over several seasons, and the stuff with Standish, Charles, and Lamb is the best example. But I think many of the characters are on a path and not just stuck in the ditch. I think this slow emotional continuity is the secret best thing about the show and what makes it a cut above of the general British espionage setting premise.
Interesting. Yeah. So for those who don't necessarily remember, we have Jackson kills someone who, you know, Catherine really cares about, someone who worked for MI5. She thought he was like a stand-up guy. It turns out he was very much using her and her alcoholism against her throughout their time working together. And it is Jackson who ends up taking out this man, right?
Right. And he makes it look like a suicide, but he does right. he does
in
kill
the
him.
Tub.
He drowns him in yes. the tub and then shoots him in the head and makes it look like he killed himself.
Yeah. Right. And so I think that where I fall in terms of the cleansing of it all, I think I'm more in line with Antonio's thought of he acts this way, he dresses this way, he doesn't care because he's kind of given up in a sense. Like in his mind, this is the best he'll ever be. Why am I gonna bother? You know, he's kind of given up at this point in his life of like, I'm not gonna dress to impress, I'm not gonna wash my hair, I'm not gonna take an actual shower, I'm just gonna fart in public waiting rooms, who cares, that's me. I think part of it is a put on, right? But I also think there's part of it of like the I run Slough House. I don't need to be in crisp, clean clothing all the time. But I did enjoy that. To me, one of the best moments of the entire season was that confrontation between Catherine and Lamb. Because, yeah. like I said, in my opinion, Catherine is the bleeding heart of the group of Slough House. And she's finally had enough. You feel like she has probably been, and you see a lot in their interactions, you know, Lamb is a bit testy at times. He's a bit prickly and she deals with it. Like she takes the brunt of it a lot of the time. And yet there's no question in Jackson's mind that when she gets taken, it's like, okay, here we go. We're getting her back. Like there's no question that he's going to save her. But I really liked their confrontation at the end because there is stuff that she doesn't know that Jackson has been protecting her from. He could have told her this information years ago, right? But he didn't. And the reason he didn't is because he wanted to protect her feelings and her memories of that guy. When it turns out he was actually a bad guy. So Jackson is such an interesting character. I think he's by far the highlight of the show for me, mostly because he's very quippy with his one-liners, and anything that's said to him, he has like a sarcastic retort to. Yeah. But I do think there is something to the, he has a little bit of a soft underbelly specifically for his very soft crew. Underbelly.
We see it when he's trying to bathe in the sink.
Yeah.
I agree to, and I, you know, he says like, no, they're my idiots or whatever, but the grossness of him, I think, is so interesting. And one thing I keep taking this away from when I would talk to Dr. Mann about Succession, and one things we would talk about is people, we would get these like questions of like, why did this person do this thing? And we're looking for like one reason. And of course, there's often like the most motivating reason, but there's multiple reasons why people do things. And so I think it's true that I think mostly it is this way in which he feels he deserves to be seen and treated. When Standish asks, like, do we kill our own? And he knows that they do. Like, that's the guilt and shame that he's living with. And so that's how he sort of chooses. But then there's moments like when, so part of this is that the Tiger Trap team is hired on the recommendation of Diana, who then also recommended that they hire Webb or Spider. And he goes into the car with like the guy who owns that company, and he's like farting and smoking and whatever. And there's moments where like, well, if this is the way I am, I can also use it to my, like, he's so good at this job that he can use it as well. So I think the primary reason he is like that all the time is, Antonio is exactly right, that it is the shame he feels, and yet it can become an act. The thing I would be interested in, you know, in this show moving forward, and the one thing that was wild to me is at the end of season three, it's like, next season. When is that?
Yeah.
When does that ever happen?
Did they film back to back? How did that work out? That was wild.
In the year of, or in the time of, like, it takes like 3 years for a show to come back on the air. Like, the fact that they were like, next time on, you're like, what the heck? That's amazing.
I think, in my opinion, maybe it's because like they're only 6-episode season, so they might be filming back to back or something.
Yeah, I don't know. And I looked at the timing, like the season one and season two, there was a bit of a condensed time before they came out, but actually between season two and three, it was more than a year. It was just like about the same. It was like the season ended in December in season two, but then it finished airing in January this year. So anyway, I would like to see some progression of, like, I think ultimately what I would like to see is for Jackson to realize that he's as much of a pawn as all these other people who are forced to into these situations, and that the idea that, and so I think that to the kind of theory or question that Antonio's is asking of, like, do you ever think we see like a clean-shaven, well-groomed Jackson? I actually wonder if the answer is no, only because of the way that, like, could the grossness fully become armor rather than the way he feels about himself? So it's still like him, and he's so in it. Like, I guess we certainly could. Where,
in
like,
my opinion, feels... like the only way it would happen would be like some sort of flashback to like before he was.
True. But I think the question is like, is Jackson Lamb a character who will ever develop to the point where he will sort of not have as low self-esteem as we maybe believe he has?
I hate to be like the Jesse moment. Armstrong, but I just don't think so. Like, I think a character like Jackson Lamb just ultimately doesn't change a ton.
But he, you know, there are ways in which, like, he lost people because he had to literally kill them. And then there's the way that, like, Standish quits at the end of this, at the end
of
this
episode.
She's
like, I'll just walk the 30 miles home, NBD. Well,
so, you know, has he been callous enough for years? But if you think he has the soft underbelly, and the fact that, you know, if these people, you know, if he does kind of change his mind on the sort of injustice of the, you know, I guess I'm the opposite, that I don't know that we get, like, you know, Gary Oldman in a tux, like Jackson Lamb in a tux in season four. I could see a moment where it's like, he's like, you know, not the most, he's not fancy dressed, but he's like seemingly well-dressed. But I do think that there's the probability that this show does give us some like Jackson Lamb, you know, kind of find, you know, like the Grinch finding his heart, you know. Yeah. I guess he always had a heart. It just grew three sizes too big, which seems medically
very bad for you medically. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I do. What I would like to see, though, is a little bit more fleshing out of some of these characters. Like, I think because it's so action-packed, a lot of times we're not getting, like, fully realized characters all the time. I felt like the most I ever felt for Luisa was when she loses Min. You know, like, I thought that was really impactful. River is a whole different story because he has like the legacy, right? He's trying to live up to like his grandfather's legacy. Obviously whenever we get Jonathan Pryce on the show, it's like incredible, and he has really great scenes with his grandson throwing the papers in the fire, and obviously River is smart enough to make copies, which we all knew he was gonna do, right? You're not like, he's not that dumb to just bring those papers in there.
The storyline of a grandfather who thinks that his, you know, the legacy of his grandson being in Slough House instead of like a full MI5 officer, but now is also dealing with like dementia seemingly. I thought it was really interesting when he goes to the members club to tell him like, no, you said like it wasn't worth it anymore. Like, you know, 50 years of doing it is like pretty sad. But I'm a big River stan. I really like River a lot. And I know he's like kind of like potentially like classic just white boy protagonist.
Yeah, that's what he gives. That's the vibes he gives.
But
yeah.
I still really like him. I mean, this season, he gets the hell beat out of him. Kudos to the makeup designers. You just have to put like these like purple, you know, black eyes under his face. And then at the end
of the day, he jumps and he like breaks his ankle and you hear the crack. I'm like, oh, you know?
And the last, he's like, a bomb goes off at the end of episode 5 and episode 6. Like, he's like knocked out. Like, this dude, it's rough. At the end, they're like, all right, well, you better go get that document to where it's supposed to go. He's like, yep, I will. And he comes off. I don't know. I like Jack Lowden a lot. So,
I like when he's like, he's sneaking, right? He tries to sneak in to like MI5.
Like, oh, it's on my phone. Thing. And the guy's like, mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you want to see it. Oh, yeah. I see. Yeah. That guy with like the big ears and the bald head. I like that guy. Yeah.
I'm
very happy to see him die. But
I also, I don't know. I kind of enjoyed the bumbling buffoonery of Marcus and Shirley this season as well.
I like
mostly when Shirley just, that she finally, it's the final episode, you know, she gets River and Luisa out of the like ladder chute thing, and then she just is like, boop, just a grenade down there, no big I don't know why that cracked me up so much. I was like, yes, girl, throw that grenade. Not even throw it. Drop that grenade down on them.
I really liked them. I really liked their stuff. I thought the season 2 did a pretty good job of, although things seemed kind of like disparate, the way that it all came together and basically almost everybody has a role in the end, even like Roddy does, you know, getting out of his like everybody kind of had something to do in that last episode to make the whole thing actually work in a way that I thought was good, because sometimes it feels like really like we're really stretching to make me believe that like this person's here to do, like it feels like chess pieces on a board.
Yeah,
I thought this was well done. The setup for the finale.
It felt more well-rounded than the first two seasons, where I actually was like, oh, the entire cast is like involved in this, and it's not just like the River and Lamb show.
Even which... Marcus, who's like has this like, yeah, like, you know, wild cop duo thing with Shirley, also gets the moment in the whole thing about how he was going to be a member of the dogs being sort of like, you know, as it would imply, like people who go in to like fight and are bruisers and are like big strong people who go in and like do the frontline fighting. He turned them down and he ends up having this like one-on-one fight with like Moody. So even despite like him getting like, you kind of think his thing is like him and Shirley, but he kind of gets this emotional payoff to fight like the head of like this guy who's the head of the dogs and now runs like the MI5 tactical units, like and the history that they have of like, you should have joined me, and he's like, no, I never want to work for someone like you. Like, I thought that was all really good.
Yeah, I agree. I think like for me, where I struggle in shows like this, and it's not to say like it's not a great show, because it definitely is, but it's the, because we only have 6 episodes and it is a very like guns and cops and espionage and spies and all of that, it's very high action is probably what I should be saying. I lose a little bit of character development for me. Like, I prefer a more character driven show than I think what this is. But it did have the comedy that I was looking for. We get a lot of snark, a lot of sass, right? There's the moment where Shirley and Marcus are like, they get fired, and they're picking up their stuff at the office. And she's like, should I pee in his drawer? Should I poop in his drawer? No, but poop's easier to remove though. I don't know that that's what I want to do.
Yeah. I don't, I think I'm like quite impressed with the character of them. Of like, yeah. Over the course of three seasons, like it's always funny to think of what show we were talking about to Upload a little while ago.
Yeah.
And over the course of three seasons, I think that did like 18 or 19 episodes, some weird number, because it did like a 10, yeah. 7, 8 or whatever. That's like not a single season of The Office, other than maybe the second season.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting to think about how much character development you have in that lens. So like you know, a lot of like some of the best British stuff are like these short, at Peaky Blinders being like the same, basically. I think they did like five or six seasons of this many episodes per. But I don't know. I think that the character development, I think, is actually really, when you look at how many people they are trying to fit in here, I really think Diana, I thought the choice to bring back Ingrid this season, if folks are not familiar with her, Sophie Okonedo, is Swan Sanche in the Wheel of Time series. And so it's kind of like a breakout role.
Yeah.
There she hasn't been in that many episodes, but certainly will be in more of that. But I thought that dynamic of like Diana setting up her boss with this tiger trap, but actually doing it because she knows actually Ingrid is the wrong kind of boss, and Diana always feels like the bad kind of boss, but actually is maybe she the best kind of boss you can have at MI5.
Well, yeah, she says, like, to your point, Ingrid is totally willing to kill a fellow officer,
many of them.
To save herself, to say, you know, to do whatever. And at the very least, for as crappy as Diana is, and as we've seen her be for like two, three seasons now, she at the very least is like, hey, like that was a fellow officer. That was a fellow agent. You know, that's not great. We should at least be like sad about it. I've lost people. And it doesn't seem like Ingrid is much more cutthroat and like selfish, I guess, in that way. And Diana, I loved their interactions when we got the two of them breaking out the like super expensive whiskey and just like sipping it as this massive gunfight is going on at the other side of town or whatever. And we find out that Diana's like, yeah, well, you were never going to like retire. And if you did, they wouldn't replace me with you because I'm already older. They would get someone younger. So I liked that we have like at the heart of this are two women like battling for control, basically.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like that. I think, you know, the Louisa stuff certainly is mostly in season two. And there's a little bit of like trying to figure out what to do after Min has died. I really liked Min. Min was somebody who was like kind of also thought was going to be like, you know, boring. See, and then I actually end up being quite endeared by him.
Min just annoyed me. I'm like, he always makes the wrong decisions. And when he goes, like, he chases someone on a bicycle and then gets drunk with them. He just annoyed me. I don't know.
I thought he was kind of sweet. But
a little bumbling guy. I don't know.
I thought their fight in season two was really good as well. Like, right before he dies, that was really good. But yeah, I don't know. I think I thought that there's a lot of character development that I actually, you know, I wouldn't have really thought much about Catherine before basically this season, and she gets so much, and actually made me think like you could have given her a little bit more, but the way she actually becomes quite like kind of endeared, like by the end she's playing Scrabble and having tea when Jackson shows up, like, what the hell are you doing? They're like, you know, and then also he eats the sandwich, like I don't know.
Sniffing the ham was very funny.
Yeah, I do think this is a show that maybe I'm more drawn to than you. So I think I probably view it maybe in a little bit of a higher regard in terms of I thought how well it's balanced between the action, the story, the character, and it's too bad we lost Olivia Cooke. I hope she went on to do big things. I hope she's she should get like an HBO role or something. You know,
yeah,
she was great. She's in House of the Dragon. If you didn't catch it, but. Yeah, I thought all of that was balanced really well. And over the course of three seasons, like I did say, I thought it started really slow. I thought season one.
Hey, it's slow horses, Grace.
Slow horses. But I found myself kind of in the same way that like Jackson also seems to be endeared by these like lovable losers. I'm the same. I was like, you know, quite sad when Min died. And like at the end, I'm like, you know, because this is a show that I do think has like stakes in that you could lose. I was absolutely gutted by what is his name who does Douglas, poor Douglas, pour one out for Douglas, who's the records keeper who gets shot in the van, like,
oh,
brutal.
That was so awful. Yeah. That, I mean, we already hated Nick Duffy, but yeah, that was just like over the line, my guy. How dare you? This, I, one of my favorite moments. I have to say, I really did enjoy the final two episodes. I thought they were the strongest for me personally. And I really liked when River and him are like, there's the, what's the code? And he's like, I don't know, but there's too much pressure. And so he just breaks it. And he's like, oh, I remembered the code.
No, best line of that is like, he's like, does it start, River says, does it start with a one? And he goes, yes. And then he goes, that feels like it's a guess. But then it does start with a one. Oh, so good.
And then what I love River saying, go ahead, enter it in now. And the whole thing is just destroyed.
See, River's funny.
River is funny. Yeah, I did love that moment. I thought it was really
brutal.
Good.
Douglas gets shot. It's so
just when shot in the face,
and he almost was going to be brought back, and then he goes, "Oh, well, they were looking for the file on Ingrid or whatever."
Yeah,
he's like, "Oh, he's like, I shouldn't have said that. Can we just forget I said that?" So yeah. Sad. And he says, also, "I just want it to be over." And they get shot in the head.
The other thing I will shout out that I think the show does very well is opening scenes for a season. I think they do a really great job at like setting the stakes. Obviously, Rivers. And the premiere, the pilot, is really good with River. But I really thought that this season three had a very strong start. I was immediately invested in like, what is going on with this couple? She just hid a document in a big old bowl of chickpeas. What is going on? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I was maybe like, she looked a little familiar and I was maybe like, oh, fun. She's going to be in the season. 10 minutes later, she's dead.
Well, I think she's like a pretty recognizable actor, if I'm not mistaken. So I thought so too. I thought we'd see more of her in flashback, possibly. But
yeah, I know there's a big casting day for season four, which is Hugo Weaving, I believe, will be joining the cast for season four, which is kind of fun.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I do think the show is good. I think for me, it's not my favorite like genre, and that's more of a me thing than an indictment on the show itself, but hey, love a 6-episode season, give that to me all day. Theme song was a bop. We'll get into that in a minute. But
do you like the show? Can I ask, and you like the show having like subtitles for its season? So season one is the Slow Horses season, season two is the Dead Lion season, and this one is the Real Tigers season. Do you like this?
I think it's a cool idea in theory, but I don't know that it ultimately mattered to me.
I really like it. And it doesn't matter, but I really like it.
Okay, good.
It's like when Survivor seasons name their seasons. Sometimes
okay,
when
no,
you're like looking
you
back.
Need.
When
that
you're looking
you need
back.
Because there's 40-something seasons
well,
of
what
it.
If we get 40 seasons of Slow Horses?
There's 0% chance. Gary Oldman will die.
Well, won't you be glad? Well, he doesn't have to be in all of them. Won't you be glad that they subtitled them then?
Yes, if that is the case, I will be glad. Yes.
It just adds some character. I think it's because that's the name of the book that they adapt each
time. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
I don't know that for sure. I could be way wrong. So
Yeah. Are you ready to get into some superlatives?
Let's do it.
So best scene. I have one off the top of my head unless you want to go first with yours.
I do actually really like Douglas and River trying to get the code on
it's
really good. The override code is very, very good. I like the last scene with Standish and Jackson.
That is my favorite. Best scene for me is Standish and Jackson having it out. Honestly, I really loved a lot of the Catherine scenes. I really was endeared when she gets, you know, kidnapped. And I'm so sorry, I'm blanking on the name of the character that she is like with and gets like her.
Julia, is that Julia? Right?
She gets like shot in the arm, right? I really was endeared to her over time. I love her coming into Standish and being like, I got you a cheese sandwich, and but in case you're vegetarian, but then here's a ham sandwich. But if you want, you could, you know, put them together and make a ham and cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
The over explanation of the sandwiches really did get me.
I think her name is Julian. I could be wrong. I should remember their names were all written on the side of the you know.
I'm also
height,
bad with names, and I only had 6 episodes to learn them. So,
but it's not my favorite like moment, but the moment where she is trying to like, she has a gun and she's in the attic and the guy is coming up the stairs and she thinks she's going to get the job, but he notices that like she's blocking the light. Like, that was so good the way she, and she gets shot through the wall. It was like, you never see that. It's like,
no.
It was, and that's for like a sort of a throwaway, like they're kind of not throwaway character, but like, they're like not our main cast.
She's not as important. Right. Yeah. And I feel like that is also a good way to show Lam is good at what he does, because he has, you know, the wherewithal to set up the knife so the guy cuts his hand, right, the blade, and he puts like chips or something on the stairs so that she can hear when someone's coming. Like, yeah, he does these really intelligent things to help out a person who is like very much not equipped to be dealing with this.
Well, then, but then, yeah, then she messes it up
and then she strangles the guy, though.
She does strangle him. Yeah,
so she ultimately succeeds.
Okay. Yeah, she did get shot through a wall, but yeah.
Yeah. But she seemed to live, you know, she was going to the emergency room after, she was all right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so my favorite scene is definitely the Lam and Standish moment at the end, but I shout out to all of the Standish stuff in general. I thought she was incredible this season.
Yeah. She was quite good.
Best character. I mean, I got it. Jackson Lam. Like, I mean, like, how do you not pick him? I think, I mean, unless you want to, you could pick River, but I just think Jackson Lam is so interesting, and he's so snarky. He has the best lines. So, of course, and it's Gary Oldman. I don't know many more reasons I need to give.
I thought you might pick Louisa.
Yeah.
Her story's maybe not as exciting this season. But
I think I would have, if it was season 2, maybe I would have picked her. For season 3, though, I think I picked Jackson Lam.
Yeah, I think that if Catherine maybe, and I know she's like an administrator, she's not like an agent, so if there was a little bit more, but I do like her. I do like River. It's probably got to be Jackson Lam, but if you're going to pick Gary Oldman, I'll pick Diana. She's not like my favorite character, but in terms of like an interesting character, she's very interesting, I think.
Yeah.
So in terms of being like the boss who you should distrust, but then also actually they all work for her and. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Pick Diana.
Worst character.
Roddy.
Yeah. Roddy sucks. Yeah. Roddy sucks. Roddy harasses people. I was very uncomfortable with his approaches towards Louisa. And like, he even got like highlights to be like her. Stop it, Roddy. Stop it.
Well, he got them before she did. And then also,
I don't believe that.
Yeah. He's saying like, it's time to move on. Come on, bro.
I hate him.
Nick Duffy also sucks.
Yeah, him just shooting Doug in the face sucks.
Web sucks.
Web sucks, but in a really entertaining way.
I don't think so. I don't know.
I really loved the moment where it's all revealed that it was like a ruse and the laser point, it was just a laser pointer, not like a sniper rifle on him. He sucks so bad, but he really, there's a comeuppance for him.
Well, I think the thing is, like, I always, you know, this is why I'm sort of rooting for the, like, Jackson Lam, like, loves himself, you know, redeem, like, has some self-esteem issues resolved. And yeah. I was, like, so happy when that was happening for Spider. And then he's like, no, I actually remember when I had the bullet thing on my hand. I'm man, I hate you. I hate you. I hate him. I don't like him.
Yeah, there's a lot of worst characters.
Yeah.
Best death, Grace.
Douglas is the best. It was the one that from this season that got me the most, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think that's the most affecting death for me this season. I think I agree.
Does Jackson shoot bald guy with the guy who was going after like interrogate, like the security guard who tries to stop River? Does he get shot by Jackson? That was pretty good.
I think so. Yeah.
As well. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of shooting, you know, a lot of guns.
A lot of shooting.
A lot of explosions. Cool explosions.
Yeah.
I'm always talking about explosion.
There certainly is like something to be said about like the entire plot hole of letting them go into the, like, that they're looking for one file, yeah, singular file in like three rooms. Like, you know, it's, we didn't really get it, but like, yeah. I don't know, but whatever. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah.
Your superlative, Grace, for the show.
Most likely to make me not want to work with Jackson Lamb. I bet he smells so bad. The way everyone's like, you smell awful. It's bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, show that makes me sing the theme song in worst accent around my house.
And boozes. Can I tell you one of my, I think this is a fear that I've seen, that is like, I do smell like Jackson Lamb, but nobody will tell me, you know, nobody's like,
that's a horrible fear.
Isn't it a bad
fear? I would tell you if you smelled, Grace.
Yeah, but we, I don't know if you know this, but we podcast
we live
virtually
so far
over
away.
I live pretty,
if I could smell you from smell, here.
And it's bad. Please tell me. But it's my worst fear that you just like.
Well, let me just say, Grace, you don't have like the ugly, like squiggle lines coming off of you, like in cartoons when you smell. Oh, well, so that's good. Great. That's a good sign.
Well, it's one sign of point that I might not smell. No. But yeah, isn't that a fear? Yeah, big fear.
I don't have that fear except for, like, I've had that fear, but only in situations where it's like I'm traveling, I'm in a hot location, I'm taking public transit, and I have to hold on to bars because I do not live. Okay, let me just put this. I do not live somewhere where you take public transportation often. You have to use a car to get around. So I'm not used to public transit, which means that I am not dexterous. I am not elegant. If I do not hold on to the hold bar things, I will fall.
Yeah, you definitely don't take public
transit. Nope. I don't know what they're called. If I don't hold on to the poles, I will fall over. And so when you're like, oh my God, do my pits stink? But also I have to put my arms up.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah. Tough.
So specific, but that's it.
So I know I have this fear, but also when I was in high school, just quick story time, a skunk sprayed our front door, but none of us were really like we could just like smell it. And so we all just thought like, it sucks. Like the door is going to, like the front area is going to smell. And then I went to get the bus and I took the bus. And as they're on the bus, everyone's like, wow, it really smells like skunk. Right. Like the whole, right. That's strange. And then I'm basically turned into, have you watched, I Think You Should Leave? Have you watched that show? Tim Robinson sketch show. There's a sketch where it's a guy who crashes the Oscar wine, like a hot dog car into a thing. And he's dressed in a hot dog. He says, we're all trying to find the guy who crashed this car. We're all trying to find, you know, it could be anybody. It could be that guy, you know, it's clearly him. And I definitely was like, yep, we all got to find out who smells like skunk.
That smells like skunk.
I went to the office secretly. I was like, you have to send me home right now, please. I need to go home. So
did they send you home?
Yeah, they sent me home.
Oh, good. Well, I don't know. Listen, schools are strict sometimes.
Yeah, I think I was allowed to have a shower and change my clothes, and then I went home. Yeah,
tomato bath, you know.
Yeah, it was bad. So it's funny because I have the fear that I'll smell, and I don't remember whether the next day I was like, wow, you smelled like skunk yesterday, and you secretly disappeared.
No, you just got away with it.
I don't know if I got away with it. Probably in this case, like, you know, when you're retelling a story, it's like, whatever's kind of the funniest answer is probably will be the reality. Cause I honestly don't remember, but, I'm a big liar, folks. I went to school smelling like skunk and had to go home. And so the idea that you would smell like Jackson Lamb, at least people would probably be like, who is that? But I guess if they know, they're not.
Listen, Grace, I think you're pretty observant. I feel like you'd at least notice people being like, you know, with like stank face on.
Yeah. Well, who knows?
But yeah. That's slow horses.
Slow horses.
We should definitely throw in our we gotta tier rank the theme song.
Oh, it's pretty high for me.
I know we have, so just to reset, we have unskippable, pretty good, memorable, fine, skippable, and trash.
What are the top two tiers? What are the top two tiers?
Unskippable and pretty good. Unskippable currently has Rick and Morty at number one, Scott Pilgrim Takes Off at number two, and then pretty good has Fellow Travelers, The Continental from the World of John Wick, and The Fall of the House Usher.
I think it's unskippable, and I'm tempted to put it above Scott Pilgrim, but I could make the argument that's the bottom of unskippable too.
So. I had the exact same thought.
Yeah.
Same brain. I am there with you. And it's because if it wasn't such an earworm, I wouldn't be so adamant. But it's like, if I'm singing this all week, and Grace, I have to admit, I don't think I skipped it a single time.
I didn't skip it ever. It was
so
really
like,
good.
Come
it's really
on. Good. You know it's good.
It's really good. It's
pretty good. Yeah. Wow. I'm honestly surprised. I'm not surprised because it was good, but I wouldn't have guessed that, like, going into this, that I would have loved this theme song so much, you know?
It's really good.
It's just catchy. I just want to sing it all the time.
Yeah, it's good.
So that's that. Next week we are covering, we're leaving Apple TV Plus for a little bit.
So
we're
sad.
Popping on over to Netflix. And we're going to cover Griselda, based on the life of Griselda Blanco, a notorious drug trader. It's directed by Andre Bays and produced by Eric Newman. Both of them worked on Narcos. And then, of course, Sofia Vergara is like the main star of it. I know she was very involved in getting this made, which I appreciate someone who has like passion for a project. So I'm excited to check this out. I think it's, what is it, 6 episodes or something like that? And it's going to drop all at once next Friday.
Friday. Yeah. There's a very small chance, Jess, that this does not air on Friday. Do you know, have you seen any of the news articles about Griselda?
No.
The family of Griselda is suing Netflix to block its airing, as they believe.
Drama.
Yeah. Court documents by Entertainment Tonight. Family did not authorize the use of their images and want to block the series from airing. Yeah. They're being sued by the family of Griselda Blanco. You know, if this was a show that was about, say, the victim of crime and they were like, please don't air it and don't do that. You know, the family of the drug lord being like, hey, I don't know. Like, and I have not watched, and I don't know much about Griselda Blanco to know, like, maybe she was like Walter White and she was doing it and she like gave all the money to kids who, I don't know. We'll see. We shall see. But yeah.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. Well, we might be covering it.
We'll I believe it's just the fact that it's like, it's not Griselda Blanco. It's like the family's like, so they wanted like names changed and stuff. Which maybe is more fair, but there was a movie by Catherine Zeta-Jones. Like, there's a 2018 movie. Like, I think this thing's coming out, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yep. So that'll be next week. And Grace, what else do you have going on?
Movies each week with Ariel. This week we're not covering one movie. We're covering all the movies because we're covering the Oscar nominations that will have come out by the time you're listening to this. Dr. Mann and I got together for one last episode on The Curse. So we did a feedback show. True Detective is happening. Jess, you and I are chatting, deep diving it each week. This week we had a lovely interview with two of the stars from the show, Isabel Starr LeBlanc and Anna Lamb. And then Dr. Mann and I recap the episode as well. So, yeah, I think that's all I got going on at the moment. I'm on social media at @HiFromGrace.
You could find me at the Jess Sterling. Grace covered everything I'm doing here, post show recaps. But other than that, you could find me on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me talking about Felicity and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, as well as some bonus movie content. This month was Jammin' January. So we covered Empire Records.
Movies about jam. Oh, sorry.
Sorry, I shouldn't have spoiled it. It was movies about jam. We covered Empire Records and we're covering That Thing You Do very soon. So get ready.
Talk about another earworm of a song. That Thing
Never
You Do.
Seen it. So
it's an absolute earworm. Yeah.
I can't wait to watch that movie. And then, of course, as everyone knows, February, we always do Rom-Com Feb, what we have called Rom-Com Feb. That may be rebranded this year.
Great. No. What do you mean?
I don't think it's not catching on with anyone. We've
great. It doesn't have alliteration. It's not a pun.
That's the problem. We've considered Frisky Feb instead.
That one has to be about cops who frisk people. And I don't know if you should do that.
I don't want to cover those movies.
let me ponder on a name for you.
There you go. Please
I feel
do.
Like I could think.
Yeah. But that's where you can find me. Of course, if you want to subscribe to the podcast, don't forget to do so at posturerecaps.com/full-spoiler-recaps. And until next week, you've been fully spoiled.
You've been fully recapped.